You know, the Lord wants us to understand that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Amen. And that His body is huge. We have a big family, would you agree? We have a family all over the world. And you know, the Lord called us to make disciples of all ethnos. That's people groups, tribes. Amen. So the Lord loves His creation. He loves all of us in our diversity and our differences and our different features that we were born with. How many here before you were born said, you know what, I think I want to have that hair and those lips and that skin color or whatever? How many did that, right? None of us, right? So guess who decided you would be who you are, right? And you would look like you did, and you would have the certain attributes, the talents, the abilities. They're given of God. Amen. None of us decided we're going to look a certain way or be a certain way. God said, I want you to be you, but I want you to walk with me, do life with me. I love you. He created us for a relationship with Him, you know? And the only time we're really living dysfunctionally is when we're living independent of Him. So He's called us. And by the way, this is the title of the message this morning. Are you ready for this? God's got it. God's got it. All right? So quit your worrying, quit your fretting. All right? Father, we thank You today for the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, the privilege of being Your servant, Lord. I know, Lord, I don't have anything to give except what You first gave to me. And I thank You, Lord, that You would allow me to be a part of what You're doing today. And I ask You, grant me utterance to speak this day. Give me ears to hear Your voice, that I'll speak the very oracles of God. Speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name, that, Lord, You will receive the glory, for You deserve it. Amen. So no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hopeless things seem, we're never without hope. We know the Word of God says that God holds everything together, amen, by the word of His power. And so the same God gives life and breath to all of us. And how many know that the Lord is not shaken by any of these things that are happening? All right? How many know that God is not stressed out? Amen? He's in complete control. He's completely holy. And those who abide in Him, by the way, will also be at peace. They'll also be in a place where they won't be shaken. Now, the Bible says that everything will be shaken in heaven and in earth. Amen? And so we are witnessing a shaking that's happening across the globe. And literally in some places. But the thing is that Jesus is going to have the final word. Because He is the King. Because He's on the throne. And and He has assigned us to represent Him. And His agenda, by the way, is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be advanced in the earth. And it will never be stopped. No matter what the devil tries to do. And those who align themselves with him, no matter what they try to do, God's agenda will be advanced in the earth. And it will not be stopped. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the ethnos, all the nations, all the people groups, and then the end will come." So you know the Lord told us not to worry, didn't He? Don't worry what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Don't worry about the future. God will take care of you if you trust Him. But He wants us to draw near to Him. As we draw near to Him, we discover His supernatural peace that overrides our human weakness, because it's in our human weakness where we fail, when we depend upon self to be at peace. Because the world's peace is conditional, right, upon external circumstances being just so. But God's peace is a supernatural peace. It's greater, amen, than natural peace. So God wants us to have his peace because we need it in this fallen world. And then he wants us, as we are abiding in that peace, to then to move together with him in advancing his purposes in the earth. King David. We read about David. He suffered much at the hands of ungodly and wicked men during his lifetime. None of us had been through what David had been through or suffered what he suffered. But David was a man of prayer, a man of worship. He had a heart for God. And it was the Lord who sustained him through it all, because he stayed near God. Amen. In the times when he had failed and he had fallen away, he was miserable within himself until he repented and returned to God. And once again, rediscovered the joy of his salvation. And the Lord wants the same for his people in this nation, amen, and around the world who have drifted, have fallen, to come back to the author of peace, come back to the Lord. Amen. And his strength will sustain us in the days to come, because the world is going crazy and people are going crazy because they're trying in their own ability to overcome a world full of devils. But as an old man, he was sharing some advice here in Psalms 37 on how we should respond when we are attacked by the wicked schemes and lying tongues of people. And I know this is one of your favorites as well, and mine as well. And Psalms 37:1, what does it say? Do not fret. You know what the word fret means? It says, don't blaze up or burn with anger or displeasure. I've caught myself doing that more than once recently. Fretting. And God hates the evil, as we do. Amen? We hate it because the Lord in us hates it. But, again, he doesn't want us getting bent out of shape over the evil schemes, okay, that man is perpetrating, and the lies that he's propagating as well. He doesn't want us to get caught up in that whole drama that the world is caught up in. You know, we consume more drugs than any nation on the planet. In America here. Everybody's on drugs, you know. And there's a time and place for that. But I think a lot of it is unnecessary. Instead of finding peace in God, people are turning to pills or drugs or whatever else. And you don't have to. Because the world's solution always leads to destruction, doesn't it? The artificial security blankets that we try to surround ourselves with. Some people, it's possessions, prosperity, money. But they're looking for an escape, or they're looking for security in a seemingly very insecure world we live in. But it says, do not fret because of these people, all right? And don't be envious of them, because sometimes you look and say, man, these people are so wicked, and yet they seem to be doing so well. They're so prosperous and opulent. And, you know, how many know that they're not happy? How many know there's no true happiness, no true joy without the Lord? They're looking for external things to try to satisfy themselves. And God would want them to be saved if they would turn from their wickedness. There's forgiveness. There's mercy at the cross. So why doesn't God want us to fret? Because verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. God is merciful. But he's not going to tolerate man's rebellion forever. In Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, or quickly, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Think about that. I got away with it. Nothing's happened. Some people are even mocking God, and they think that, well, since nothing happened, I can continue to do so. But listen to verse 12. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. So God will eventually punish the wicked, but reward the righteous. Psalms 37 verse 9 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. If you think about how quick our lives are, James said they're like a vapor. You think about the wicked dictators of history, even some in more recent times, Pol Pot and, you know, Hitler and some of them, Mao. Where are they at? They're no more. They caused a lot of problems, all they hear, because they aligned themselves with Satan, but they're no more. Their reign of terror is over, and they have entered into their reward, what they deserve, because God is just. But it says in verse 10, a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. So, what are the positive things that we should be doing as God's people? Well, it says in verse 3, trust. Trust, right? In the Lord. And do good, right? And dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So I want to break this down and kind of share from these areas that we need to really focus on and living proactively for God, living in a, doing the positive thing, because there's always a lot to complain about, a lot to worry about or fret about. But God wants us instead to shift away from just looking at and dwelling on what the wicked one is doing and find out what he's doing and do what he's doing. Join him in his mission and live proactively for the Lord and store up for yourself treasure in heaven. For here we have no continuing city, right? So it says trust in the Lord. Well, this is not some kind of unfounded optimism that everything is going to turn out the way we want. But it means a deep, abiding reliance on God himself, who has promised to reward the faithful and in his time punish the wicked. So despite the fiercest attacks of demons or men, those who belong to Christ are kept securely in the Father's hand. If we believe that, then we can be at rest in that, and that assurance that God's got it. God's got me. The next positive thing we're to do is to do good. Do good. God's will is that we should live so honorably and without blame that the unbelievers will have no legitimate basis for accusation against us. So the righteous are constantly under attack by foolish people, would you agree? In the media, comedy, late night shows, universities, the righteous are constantly under attack by people who are blind to the truth. Anyone who doesn't know the truth, well, will live foolishly. So the best way to respond to these attacks is by living proactively a holy life before them. You see, the enemy is looking for any dirt he can find on any one of us to accuse us, to put back in our face and say, oh, look what you did. Not only before us, but to take your name and drag it out before the watching world and say, look what this so-called Christian did. Right? I think, oh, they just love to get a hold of a failure of a man or woman of God and hang it out, amen, for everybody to see and gloat over the failure of people. How many know that God hates that? God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God is in the forgiveness business, amen. He's not in exposing to everything, to everybody. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean he justifies the sinner, amen, and the sin. But that means that as we take responsibility, we can find mercy with God and we can be restored. Amen. We don't need to get on the gossip. Amen. And get on Facebook and talk about what Joe and Sally have been doing in their personal lives and what hypocrites they are. How many know there's always going to be hypocrites? Amen. There are hypocrites all up in Walmart. Amen. But it doesn't stop you from going shopping there, right? Some people ain't going there. There's too many hypocrites in there. Well, but you go to the store, it's full of hypocrites, right? Okay. All right. We just need to make sure that we're not the hypocrite and quit focusing on everybody else. Amen. Take responsibility for ourselves. So the best way is to live a life that is without reproach or above reproach in the eyes of the people that are watching us. And we can only do that as we rely upon the grace, the ability of God. Amen. We need to stay close to Jesus. Amen. And when we blow it, and we do at times, what do? Guilty. Take responsibility. Amen. You're right. I was wrong. I repent. Forgive me. Amen. A true man and woman of character will take responsibility for their actions. And God will also forgive such a one. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For this is the will of God, that by what? Doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." But I say to you who hear, Luke 6:27, this is Jesus, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." So we do the opposite. As we live an exemplary life, we live the best life we can, knowing that we represent Jesus and we're here to honor him in everything we do. Amen? And even in the quiet place, the secret place of the heart, even when you're alone and nobody's watching, guess who's watching? The fear of the Lord will prevent you from backsliding. Somebody say amen. So another thing we're supposed to do is then dwell. All right? Dwell. Trust in the Lord, right? Do good. Dwell in the land. So the idea here is that we should live calmly, securely in his peace wherever we live, wherever we find ourselves, and not to be worried about wicked people on the earth. All right? So you think about that. God wants us to abide in him who is our peace. He is our peace. And I know man has been trying for millennia to establish world peace. Come on. Well, if we can just have one more meeting. No, because it's the heart of man that's desperately wicked. Amen. If the heart doesn't change, neither does the fruit of the life. And the fruit of the life of natural man is selfishness. And it's out of selfishness that people take advantage of others and oppress the poor. Amen. And steal, take what's not theirs. And try to dominate other people by stealing their freedoms from them. Well, just give us your freedoms and we'll give you your handout, your free stuff. You know, God wants us to be under his authority. And he's given us sovereignty over ourselves. Amen. So no man owns you as a child of God. Amen. Except one, the man Christ Jesus. We're his property. But no earthly man owns me. I'm his property. Amen. So dwell, continue, abide in the place of peace in the Lord, in the secret place is where you'll find it. Aren't you glad that we have a friend in Jesus? All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And it goes on to say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have peace in Him, don't we? Hallelujah. So as we dwell, we also should be feeding on Him, on His faithfulness. And the word feed means to feed on truth as a flock of sheep would feed on good pasture. So Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the lover, amen, of my soul. He's the shepherd that gave His life for me. All right? And He knows how to take care of us if we will trust Him and commit ourselves to Him, acknowledge Him, look to Him. He will lead us in the way we should go. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? So we're to feed on Him, feed on the Word of the Lord. So let the Word of the Lord be food for your soul. Amen? And we can only find that satisfaction in Him. People are trying to find satisfaction in the world. And the people that have the most seem to be the unhappiest because they just get all this stuff that they thought would make them happy and then they're still not satisfied. So they're looking for more. Isn't it amazing how people, they got billions and billions of dollars and it's not enough. They're still trying to make more and more money all the time. Why? They're trying to fill up a void that only the Lord can fill. So it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yeah. We are to delight in Him. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires, what? Of your heart. Well, we know as we delight in Him, and as our hearts are made right with Him, then we will have godly desires, won't we? All right? How many have ever had a dream of something, even in the world that you wanted? Maybe it was a certain house or a place to live. You may not have even prayed about it, but you kind of thought, man, it'd be kind of nice to live there or to have this or have that. You know, I can remember when we were in New York and Hesuk and I would go by this stone house. It was made of like river stones. It was really beautiful, you know. It was kind of not a real big house. It was like a large cottage kind of style house, but it was beautiful, made of stone. And we were living in an apartment in town. But we just kind of stood there and said, yeah, it'd be kind of nice to live there, wouldn't it? But I wasn't going, God, can we live there? You know, we just needed to be content where we were and say thank you for everything we do have. Amen. But guess what? God opened a door for us where we ended up living there. Because He heard our desire before. We didn't even ask. Somebody had said something about this place, and we didn't know it was that until we got down there and discovered it's that place. Yeah. So, I mean, how many of us like to bless our children? Is that a good thing? I think it is. We don't, you know, and sometimes we talk about, especially your grandparent, you spoil your grandkids, right? Well, how many know that God is extravagant? He lavishes His grace on us, His goodness on us. And, you know, God's going to take care of our needs in this world, amen? We may not always have what we want, but He'll make sure we have what we need if we trust Him for it. But I found God even a lot of times going beyond what I was expecting because it's who He is. But we're not here for those things. We know those are just temporary, as Paul said, for the use while we're here. Amen. But we're looking for something greater. Amen. We're investing in eternity. We're living for the King. Hallelujah. And for His pleasure. So as we take pleasure in Him, this is another positive thing. Amen. How precious, verse 7, is your unfailing love, O God. Psalms 36:7. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. One of my favorite verses. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of what? Delights. Oh, how many know you can't delight in a God who's not delightful? And if you don't think God, if you think God is not delightful, then you don't know God. Come on. He's delightful. How many want to have a relationship with someone who's delightful? He's delightful. the rivers of his pleasure, right? Look at this, Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures. Somebody say pleasures. Forevermore. Man, if you want to have pleasure, go to the one who is pleasurable. If you want to get high, go to the Most High, right? So we're instructed. Then another positive thing we're supposed to do is then, if we delight ourselves and take pleasure in Him, we what? Commit our way. If you trust Him, then you'll commit your way to the Lord. And He what? It says that He'll bring it to pass. That word bring to pass means He shall do it. Or He'll take care of it. He'll take care of your stuff, your problems, whatever you commit to Him. He'll take care of them. In other words, it means that commit your ways to the Lord, trust Him, and He will secure a happy result. That is, a blessed future, listen, or final outcome. In this world, you'll have tribulation. But God has promised good to those who love Him. A better outcome in the end. Amen. God will not permit you to be ultimately wronged. Verse 6 says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So what that means is if you commit your case to the Lord, He will vindicate you or He will even validate you. How many here have been lied about, falsely accused? Or maybe even you did something dumb, all right, and people got on that bandwagon and used it against you, you know. But if you take responsibility for your actions, for your mistakes, amen, even for your sin, right, God forgives. God cancels it. And God restores. God heals. He wants to restore. He wants to heal. And so, just give it to God. If people are attacking you with lies, if you feel like you're under attack, because the devil uses people, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but flesh and blood is yielding often itself to the wicked one. So what do? We give it to God. Commit it to God. Commit your case to Him. Because I've known some people who are constantly defending themselves. They want to make sure, you know, people know who they are and that they're upright and they live in this constant self-defensive posture. And how many know sometimes all the talking in the world is not going to change people's perspective of you? People are going to believe what they want to believe. And sometimes people believe something before they actually see both sides presented, you know. That defense or that prosecuting attorney sure had a good case, but I'm not going to listen to the other side now. And so people run with gossip and rumors and things they hear on YouTube or Facebook. Well, this guy was sitting in his grandmother's basement on the couch and says he was an expert in this area, and therefore what he says must be true. Never mind. What God wants to do is He wants to bring us ultimately into rest, into His rest. So sometimes people get caught up in this thing about people that are saying these things. I want to make sure. So I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to defend myself. And what happens often is they become a gossip and even become a busybody and trying to defend themselves. And often what the enemy will do is he'll get them to now start to do a counterattack on the person that's attacking them. And it only grows and gets worse. What's the solution? Lord, you see it. Lord, I commit it to you. I commit my case to you. Lord, I ask you to validate me or vindicate me. Give it to God. Don't get caught up in the drama. Some people love drama, don't they? They like controversy. They love to argue. They love to stir the pot. And if you keep putting fuel on the fire, it'll keep burning. Just give it to God. Let me just tell you this. I would not be in ministry today if I allowed people's opinion of me control me. Because I would be probably bouncing off a rubber room somewhere. Because of all the stuff, you know, and the enemy. But I've found a refuge in the Lord. I found peace in the Lord. I can come to the Lord with it and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to deal with this. I need you to reveal to these people the truth about the matter. Because sometimes people just simply misunderstand you. All right? You can speak to 100 people and there's all kinds of different interpretations of what you said. So you do what God tells you to do, say what he tells you to say, and leave the results up to him. And if people don't understand, try to explain to them. But if they're not getting it, give that to God too. How many have ever tried to explain something to somebody that's not getting it? And no matter how hard you try to explain it, they're still not getting it. So in a case like that, quit. Just stop. All right? Don't waste your time anymore. Say, I'll pray for you. That the Lord will show you. You know, rest here means, ready for this? Be silent to the Lord. Quit. It's talking about fretting, right? Getting angry, getting bent out of shape. It means just be silent before the Lord. Be still. To listen to him in silence. In other words, leave the whole matter with the Lord without being anxious as to the result. Leave it to God. Put it in his hands. Give your worries, give your fears to God. Stop worrying about the future. How many know you have to practice that? Because we're surrounded with fear porn. And people are provocative. They're provoking you. Doing things that are violating your sovereignty as a person. Amen? And there are certain things that we can be involved in. We can affect change. But there are other things that are beyond what we can do. And what do? With those? Well, we give it to God. And then we ask God to give us wisdom in the things that we can change. That he'll give us his strategy. I believe that we should be involved in this nation, even in the political process, at least to get out and vote, because God's given us a responsibility and a stewardship over this nation as to the direction it's going to go. Some people will say, oh, no, we just preach the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? It's salt and light. It's the invasion of God's, amen, kingdom reign into the earth realm through a people who represent him. Amen? And God would have this nation to be at peace. God would have this nation to be righteous. And that means the church has to become right with God. Amen? We have to get back to the Lord. God has promised good to those who trust him. Verse 11, but the meek. Meek does not mean weak. It means humble or lowly. All right. Most of you are aware of this, but I want to just take a little time on that word, meek. They shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Again, this all has to do with one who is submitting themselves to God. Committing their way to him. Trusting him. Ceasing from their striving. Resting in him. The meek are those who have told themselves, shut up. Quit complaining. Come down. Amen? Yes. Calm down. Control yourself. You see, all of us have strengths and weaknesses, and we can use our strengths in a negative sense to hurt or control people around us that we may deem weaker than we are. But a humble person will not allow themselves to do that. They will submit themselves instead to God. And they will not use their will to force their will on somebody else. To control others using their soul power. Using their anger to control people. I know people, sometimes they get angry and they put on quite a show because they want you to be intimidated so then they can manipulate you through their anger to do what they want you to do. That's a spirit of witchcraft. Manipulation, right? Intimidation with manipulation for domination, that's spirit of witchcraft. And sometimes it's even in the church. We have to guard against that. People don't get their way. Well, that's not the carpet color I wanted. Let's move right along here, but sometimes we can get caught up in the silliest stuff, right? But the meek are those who have strength, but instead bring that strength under control. In other words, you may have a weak leader. You may be a stronger leader, but a humble person or a meek person understands God's authority and his system, and so they willfully submit to the weaker. Amen? Sometimes, ladies, you can be stronger in some ways over your husband. You can have a, you know, but you have to be careful that you stay where God has placed you in that relationship by his side. Amen? And not to exalt yourself over him, and you're not to be under his feet to be trampled by him. Amen? But a woman was taken out from the sight of man. And even though you may have some strengths that your husband doesn't, you don't force your will upon your husband. You can advise and give, amen? You should be able to speak to your husband and explain to him what your thoughts are, what your feelings are about things. And a husband is called to love his wife and give himself for her. That means that I listen to Hesuk. I listen to what she has to say. We don't always have to agree on everything. But at the end of the day, she's going to have strengths, and I'm going to have strengths. She has strengths, she has weakness. We don't take our strength and use it, amen, to control one another. You humble yourself. You recognize God's authority. And if you humble yourself, then God will lift you up in honor. That's right. Elisha had to follow Elijah for a season. He might have had certain strengths that Elijah didn't. But Elisha humbled himself and became the servant of Elijah, the prophet. And he was in a time of training, of being prepared to eventually take the mantle, amen, and have a double blessing, right? Is an example of how God works. If you humble yourself, you wait on your ministry, wait on your calling, wait on God's time, then in due season he will exalt you. But he said if you exalt yourself, if you try to put yourself into positions prematurely that God has not put you in, then God can humble you real quick too. If you don't humble yourself, right, he will humble you. And I know all about that. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy today. I want to finish with this. Satan, he's working feverishly to assemble the nations to oppose the God of heaven and his covenant people. He wants to establish a world order that will exalt him in the place of God. And how ridiculous for Satan to think he will ultimately succeed in this. How ridiculous even for mere man to think he can stop the Almighty from fulfilling his eternal plan. See, the Lord Jesus is coming, just as he promised, to receive his bride, his church. He's going to establish his throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule over the nations with a rod of iron. And in Psalms 2 and verse 6, it says, the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. Psalms 2 and 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those that put their trust in him. See, the first coming of our Lord was to suffer and die on a cruel cross, a suffering servant for the sins of all mankind. And they thought that by crucifying him, they were going to stop him. But yet they were actually fulfilling God's plan to bring salvation to us. At the second coming of Jesus, he's coming not as a suffering servant, but what? The reigning king. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Isaiah 2 and verse 2, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from where? Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Hallelujah, praise God. That day is coming. No matter what the devil's up to, no matter what he tries to do, God's will be accomplished in the earth. He is going to put down all the foolishness. He is going to reign over the earth. Hallelujah. And those who suffer with him will also reign with him. Things are right on schedule. God's kingdom is coming to earth. The Lord is with us. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Here's our call. The ethnos, all the peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, all things that I commanded you. As we see Jesus moved upon the earth, as he demonstrated to his disciples, as his disciples followed in his footsteps, now he's saying to his disciples, now I want you to also teach those who come after you to do likewise. Doing what Jesus did. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to return, just as he said. We need to pray. We need to be ready. We need to keep oil in our vessels. And we need to wake up, stay alert. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is saying, obey my voice. He said in verse 9 of Psalms 37, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Guys, I don't like what we see going on either. And we shouldn't, because the Spirit of the Lord in us hates the wickedness. But there are things that are out of our control. And there are certain things God has given us responsibility over. We have to know the difference. Be responsible where he's put you in charge. But to those things that are out of our control, we have an advocate at heaven's court. Amen. Our Lord Jesus. Call upon him. Hallelujah. God wants to use you and me as agents of change in this world. And that's why he sent his Holy Spirit to empower us to go about doing good, just like Jesus, and destroying the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here, Lord. Father, we pray that you'd bless each one with your righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, that you would strengthen each one of us with might and inner man by your Spirit. Lord, that you will bring us into your rest. Lord, that we can let go of these things that are out of our control and commit our ways to you, trust you, and know that you'll bring it to pass, Father, according to your will.